In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So, as I say, today is Trinity Sunday. I want to briefly consider what each of our passages says to us about God the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So you might say that this is two sermons for the price of one. It should have been three in one, really, shouldn't it? But maybe next year. Let's begin, first of all, with our epistle, Romans chapter 5. You might like to turn to it in the Pew Bibles. It's on page 1132. Romans 5, page 1132. Now, if you look at this passage, you can immediately see that it mentions the three persons of the Trinity. God in verse 1, and we ought to take that to be God the Father here, I think. And then, it's God in verse 2, and God in verse 5. Then in verse 1, we have our Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son. And then finally, in verse 5, the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. So there are the members of the Trinity, but what is it that Paul actually says about them in this passage? Well, I think we could sum it up under two headings. First of all, God the Father sent the Son to save us. Verses 1 and 2. We have peace with God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can sometimes get this wrong. We shouldn't imagine that there's a sort of nasty God the Father who needs to be appeased by lovely Jesus. The rest of the Bible makes it clear that all three persons of the Trinity are perfectly united in our salvation. If we wanted to divide up what they do, we might say that salvation is planned by the Father, but achieved by the Son, and maybe applied by the Spirit. But certainly, all three members of the Trinity love us and work together in perfect unity to save us. The Father sends the Son into the world because he loves us. And the Son loves us and his Father, and so he willingly comes. Salvation is the work of the triune God. But it's not the Father who becomes a human being and dies on the cross. That's the special role only of the Son. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit have different roles. They're equally God, but they're not the same. We can't mash them together. They're not just different masks or roles of the same God. As the creeds warn us, we're not to confuse them or to imagine them as some kind of mixture or part of God. By the way, when we reflect on this, it's a profound principle of unity in diversity and equality with difference. That's important in society and families and in churches, isn't it? We're not all the same, and we're all different, but we're all equal. We've talked about those things before, and we can talk about them over coffee if you like. But let's just dig for a moment or two further into this passage. We're actually going to have a sermon series on Romans. We're going to resume that sermon series which we began ages ago. So we'll come back to some of these ideas in future weeks. But just very quickly, you'll see in verse 1, Paul says that we have been justified through faith. Justified is a legal term. It means acquitted, found not guilty, declared righteous, vindicated. So, despite all the wrong things that I and you have done, in the Lord Jesus we can be put right with God, we can be justified. And that is through faith, not by stacking up good works or by our merit or achievement, but by trusting Jesus, depending on him. Yes, believing certain truths about him, but also committing ourselves to him in personal dependence, which is faith. And through this we have peace with God. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? To be at peace with your Creator, the Creator of the universe, Through our sin, we've made ourselves enemies to God. Sometimes in obvious ways, sometimes in nice, polite, middle-class ways. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, God has reconciled us to himself. We were enemies, but now we're friends. And through Jesus, verse 2, we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. Grace, the generous, undeserved love of God. That's where you stand if you're a Christian believer today. Jesus has taken the penalty that we deserve so that we can be forgiven. Wonderful, wonderful truths. As I say, more on those in the week ahead. God the Father sent the Son to save us. Of course, our response should be faith, dependence, and praise and thanksgiving. Lives of grateful obedience to God the Father and God the Son who've done all this for us. Secondly, God the Father sent the Spirit to live in our hearts. That's verse 5. Hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So the work of salvation is not just way back in history or out there beyond us. It's also within us. God the Holy Spirit comes to be with us and in us. God pours his love into our hearts by the Spirit. Caught a little snippet of the morning service on Radio 4 today, and they were talking about the Trinity too. And they mentioned about the Trinity as God above us, the Father, God beside us or alongside us or with us in Jesus, and God within us by the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not the whole story, but it's quite a helpful way of thinking about the Trinity, isn't it? God above us, God alongside us, God within us. He has poured out his love into our hearts by the Spirit. And I guess the idea is that he has done it lavishly. Now, he hasn't got his teaspoon and measured out. Is it 5 millilitres in a teaspoon? Or it's not, you know, sort of tiny bit of his love. He's poured out his love into our hearts generously. His great love flows into us and should overflow from us. Well, that's sermon number one done, so we're possibly halfway through. Let's turn to our gospel reading now in John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 12, page 1084. And again, we can immediately see the three persons of the Trinity in this passage. The Lord Jesus himself is there talking, including talking about himself. And then he mentions the Holy Spirit, whom he calls the Spirit of Truth in chapter 16 and verse 13. See that there? And again, the Spirit in verse 15. And he mentions God the Father, also in verse 15. This little passage tells us about the work of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in making God the Father known to us. Here are three headings. First of all, the Holy Spirit connects the apostles to Jesus and to his word. That's verses 12 to 14. Jesus is speaking, of course, to his disciples and the apostles here. And he says to them in verse 12, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So the idea here is that Jesus has got more to say to his disciples than he can say to them on this last night of their life, more than they can manage. And later, when Jesus has gone to heaven and the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit will teach them the things that Jesus wanted to say to them. We should notice the close connection between Jesus and his Spirit. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit here the Spirit of Truth. And just a couple of chapters earlier, Jesus has famously said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's the Spirit of Truth who connects us to Jesus, who is the truth. Let's just turn back over the page to chapter 14, and we'll see this similar thing about Jesus saying that the Spirit will teach the apostles. This is chapter 14 and verse 25. Jesus says, All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I've said to you. Now, it's obvious from that Jesus is talking, first of all, about the Spirit's work in the apostles, isn't he? Now, Jesus has taught them certain things during his earthly ministry, and the Holy Spirit will come later and remind them of those things. You know, we weren't there in Jesus' earthly ministry, were we? Jesus never physically been around to teach us anything that the Holy Spirit can remind us of. So, first of all, this is a promise to the apostles. And back in chapter 16, we'll see that this isn't really some sort of different, independent, separate message from the Holy Spirit. Just look at chapter 16, verse 13. The Spirit will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. The Spirit won't speak on his own. He'll speak what he hears. It's the Spirit's work to bring Jesus' words to the apostles, to connect the apostles to Jesus. We might say that the Holy Spirit is the shy member of the Trinity. He's self-effacing. He doesn't draw attention to himself. He focuses us on Jesus and brings us to him. Verse 14, Jesus says, "He, the Holy Spirit, will bring glory to me." The Holy Spirit connects the apostles to Jesus. That's our first point. Second, Jesus connects us to God the Father. Verse 15. Jesus says, verse 15, "All that belongs to the Father is mine." That's a big deal, isn't it? All that belongs to God the Father, that is a lot of stuff. And that's the whole point Jesus goes on to say. It's because all things that belong to the Father belong to Jesus, that we want to get in touch with Jesus, because it's through him that we get in touch with the Father. To know Jesus is to know God himself, because Jesus is God himself come in the flesh. All that belongs to God the Father belongs to Jesus. So what Jesus teaches us is not, you know, his best thoughts or, you know, his genius spiritual reflections. It comes from God himself. He reveals the Father. Again, look back over the page for a moment to chapter 14 and verse 7. 14 verse 7. Jesus says to his disciples, "If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well." Again, a staggering claim, isn't it, about Jesus' ability to perfectly reveal God to us. Well, it's too much for the disciples to get their head around. Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus says, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been with you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?" Jesus is saying, if you want to know God, you just have to look at me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. Jesus perfectly and fully reveals the Father to us. Earlier in this gospel, he says, "I and the Father are one." We sometimes see sons who look amazingly like their fathers, don't we? We have that expression, like father, like son. You might say he's a chip off the old block if he's very like his dad. Well, Jesus is not just like the Father, but perfectly like him. He's God in the same sense that God the Father is God. In the technical languages of the Creed, Jesus is of the same substance or essence as God the Father. The Son is all that the Father is, except Father. Like a human Father and Son, God the Father and God the Son share the same nature, you know. Human fathers have human sons, don't they? That's a fairly basic point of biology. Well, in the same way, the divine Father has a divine Son. But unlike a human Father, God the Father and God the Son are perfectly alike, perfectly united. Yeah, my sons and I might be similar in some ways, similar eyes or hair or whatever to a greater or lesser extent, but for the moment at least they're all smaller than me, none of them has a beard. We're similar in some ways, but we're also different in many ways. Well, not so with God the Father and God the Son. The Father and the Son are one in eternity and power and wisdom and holiness and love and so on. It's their relationship with one another that sets them apart. The Father is Father, the Son is Son, but they are two persons of the one God. This is a wonderful mystery, but it has important cash value for us, because it reminds us that Jesus perfectly reveals God to us. If we've seen Jesus in the Scriptures, then we've seen the Father. That really ought to be enough for us. As Hebrews tells us in chapter 1, Jesus is the last word on God. He is the Son, the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. We can be sure that there's nothing left over or left out in Jesus' revelation of God. Jesus is the Word of God, and nothing has been lost in translation. Jesus is God made known, God uncovered, God come in the flesh. Jesus connects us to God, and the Holy Spirit connected the apostles to Jesus. Now, the astute amongst you might have been thinking, well, this is all very well, Lloyd, but you've been blathering on about the apostles. What on earth has that got to do with us? Now, it's all very well, isn't it, if the apostles could access Jesus, and through Jesus they could access God, but, you know, I'm not the Apostle Peter. Well, thirdly and finally, we could add that the New Testament connects us to the apostles. And so, of course, therefore, it connects us to Jesus and to God the Father. It's the New Testament that preserves for us the teaching of the apostles and their circle. So we have an unbroken chain that goes from us to God the Father. We can read the New Testament, where we find the teaching of the apostles, who are connected by the Spirit to Jesus, who perfectly reveals God the Father. I might set the children to draw a diagram of that for homework this afternoon. Here is the Spirit who brings us Jesus' words via the apostles so that we can know God. So the place for us to meet Jesus, and hence God the Father, is in the Scriptures, which the Holy Spirit has inspired the apostles and others to write for us. As Jesus said, it's the Scriptures that testify about him. These things are written that we might come to him and have life. Today would be a great day for a mid-year resolution. You're allowed mid-year resolutions. To somehow or other get afresh or more deeply into the Scriptures. Perhaps to use some Bible reading notes, if you don't already use them, or to get along to a home group, or something like that. Whatever way works for you, it's the Spirit-inspired Scriptures that contain Jesus' words that reveal God the Father to us. Well, just from those two passages, I hope we can begin to see how vital the Trinity is. That our salvation and our knowledge of God are Trinity shaped. And what could be more important than knowing God as he really is, having peace with him, standing in his grace, being in the right with him, knowing his love lavishly poured out into our hearts. Therefore, to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, be all honour and glory and power and praise, now and forever. Amen.